Let me welcome you here tonight. Appreciate you coming out. It's a little strange being so dark. I know some people like that, some people don't. So we're going to be in the 27th chapter of Jeremiah. Let me just again welcome you here. Appreciate you bringing the food out. Don't forget this coming Sunday we have a baptism. At the end of the service, so it'll be a wonderful time. I think we have 9 people getting baptized, so we're excited about that. And so we do have it after the service, so if you need to leave, you can, but we encourage people to stay. So give the people the opportunity to go back and change. So time to celebrate, right? Okay, we're in the 27th chapter of Jeremiah. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this evening that we can come and just fellowship with you, to be with you, to be in your house, gather with your people in the name of Jesus. We recognize that you are here among us. We ask you to open our hearts up to your word and encourage us, correct us, strengthen us, teach us, guide us. Use the word in our lives to just enrich our hearts. Again, we desire to see the world around us the way you see it. And we believe the word of God is the great thing that you use, the main thing that you use to help us to be transformed. Our minds are renewed by the word of God. We thank you for that. Holy Spirit, just breathe upon us and help us to set aside every weight, every thought, everything that would distract us for night. Maybe we're busy or things going on, but we just want to lay all that down and come before you and ask you to open your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in the 27th chapter of Jeremiah. And, you know, let me just mention already in our study of Jeremiah, there's been a couple of times where he's mentioned the idea of false prophets. And we're going to see in these chapters, we're going to hopefully cover 3 chapters tonight, that God's going to bring judgment on these false prophets. I just want to point out again how God feels about false prophets. People are sinners. They need Jesus. But particularly, the Lord's anger is directed towards individuals who should be guiding and directing God's people, but who are actually deceiving them. And I've pointed out a number of times that it was the religious leaders that Jesus was the most vehemently against in the Gospels. He was the one that was rebuking them, confronting them. They were the ones that were really behind the danger in his life. We saw that last study. Last Wednesday night, we looked at this idea that there are those that wanted to put him to death, and they originated from the people, the religious people in the temple. And that, of course, reflects Christ himself. It was the religious people who wanted to put him to death. It doesn't mean that the political leaders weren't a threat, but by and large, over the years, the centuries, it has been religious people that are the most dangerous towards people who love the Lord. And so we have to remember that. And so in our study, we'll see that a little bit tonight. So in the 27th chapter, look if you will, in verses 1 through 11, God's going to send a word to the nations, and he's going to use a yoke as a symbol of that. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, let me just mention also, if you'll turn to chapter 28, verse 1, most look at that, most manuscripts talk about Zedekiah in this verse rather than Jehoiakim, because it fits with the chronological order. And in chapter 28, verse 1, it happened in the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah. Zedekiah was towards the end of the reign. In this passage in verse 1, it mentions Jehoiakim, but most believe it was Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. His word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus says the Lord to me, make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. And send unto the king of Edom, the king of Moab, the king of the Ammonites, the king of Tyre, the king of Sidon, by the hand of the messengers who come to Jerusalem to Zedekiah." Notice that, there's Zedekiah, king of Judah. "And command them to say to their masters, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus you shall say your masters." So this word is being sent to the surrounding nations. So it's not only towards the people of Judah, but to the surrounding countries. And here's what he says, verse 5, "I've made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me." An important statement. God is the one who puts people in charge. We talked about this many, many times. "And now I've given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon." Then he calls him my servant. When the Assyrians had come down in the northern kingdom, God calls the Assyrians my servant. God was using these ungodly nations, the Assyrians and now the Babylonians, to discipline his people. So that's what he's talking about. He says, I've given to Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beast of the field I've also given to serve him. That's an amazing statement. Sort of in some way, in other words, he's the one, God has given him that authority. God had given him that place to be in charge. Verse 7, so all nations shall serve him and his son's son, until the time of his land comes, and then many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And meaning, of course, the destruction of the Babylonians by the Chaldeans. And so we see this word, you know, that, remember, Cyrus was the one who came and overthrew the Babylonians. We'll see that as we get along to the end of our study here with Jeremiah. But God's going to use this as a tool, an instrument. In the same way, we see the sovereignty of God over many. These were ungodly people. These were pagans. And yet they were an instrument that God used to discipline his people, the same that he does today. There are times he uses the ungodly people to discipline his own people. And we're seeing that. So in verse 8, notice this. It shall be that the nation and kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation I will punish, says the Lord, with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, until I've consumed them by his hand. That's exactly the same word that God brought to Judah. God's word to Judah was, submit to the Babylonians, serve them, do not fight them. Of course, they didn't listen. Therefore, look in verse 9, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie to you. And then he says, to remove you, or in order to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out and you will perish. So these false prophets were being, in some ways, used, prophesying lies to fight the Babylonians. God says, because you're doing that, I'm going to use the Babylonians to remove you because you're listening to these false prophets. The word of Jeremiah was to submit to the Babylonians. We've talked about how unusual this prophecy was, because in the history of the nation, no prophet had ever come and say, submit to these ungodly pagans. God had always told them to repent, and God was certainly using, I'm reminded of Hezekiah when Hezekiah was king. When the Assyrians invaded the southern kingdom, God defended Judah and defended Jerusalem. And remember that when Isaiah was there, Isaiah prophesied regarding the Assyrians that they would not come and even shoot an arrow towards the city. They would be delivered. And so they were expecting at this time, this was a long time ago, these people were expecting the same things. And these false prophets were saying the same thing. Oh, you'll be delivered. And these false prophets were not only to Judah, but they were these false prophets to these other nations. So they all had their soothsayers, their diviners. You know, these people were involved in witchcraft, you know, and they were prophesying by a false spirit. And so in verse 10, they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from your land, and I will drive you out and you will perish. It's amazing how God is telling them to submit to the Babylonians. And don't listen to the false prophets, but you're not going to do that. You're going to listen to your false prophets, and I'm going to use them, as you listen to them, to remove you from your land. That's exactly what he said to Judah. Verse 11, but the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. So this yoke that Jeremiah was wearing was a symbol, and these yokes were sent to these other kingdoms. You know, as the messengers of Zedekiah, again in verse 3, were sent, you know, somehow or another Jeremiah had them take this yoke and say to them, you know, God, the God of Judah is saying, the God of Israel is saying, submit to the Babylonians. God was sovereign. Well, one of the keys in this passage is verse 5, where God says, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are on the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it to whom it seemed proper to me. And we see in this one verse God's sovereignty over ungodly people, over ungodly nations. He does what he wants to do. And we've seen that over and over again. This gives us great comfort. Why? Because the God that loves us, the God that sent his son to die on the cross for us, may at times use ungodly peoples and ungodly nations, but he's in complete control of them. And in this passage, God is saying, I'm using this servant of mine. The servant is the king of Babylon, this pagan. He's my servant in the same way that God also used and is using Satan. Think about the Bible, the teaching of the Word of God. You know, we thought, you know, God could have easily stopped Satan from coming into the garden. It was Satan that entered the heart of Judas. Remember that? Satan entered the heart of Judas to go and betray Jesus to the religious leaders, to the high priest and his family. And it was because of that Jesus was taken and arrested and brought before Pilate. And the greatest defeat that Satan ever experienced was at the cross. And yet we see how the Lord allowed the devil to go into Judas in order to fulfill his word. It's an astonishing picture into the sovereignty, the hand of God, the power of God to control things. To God works in the hearts and minds of people. He's able to watch over us. And that's why we have that confidence that all things work together for good to those who love God. We say that because of this verse. Not only that, but God's given into the king of Babylon, even the army, you know, the beasts in verse 6. So look in verse 12, if you will. In verse 12 of our passage, the same message now is going to be sent to Zedekiah, the king of Judah. I also spoke to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Now, let me just say this. This chapter is 11 years before the Babylonians come and conquer the city. Now, remember, the prophesying of Jeremiah was about 40 years. So he's already been prophesying for, 29 years. And here he is again saying the same kind of thing. Submit. So that's what he's saying. Verse 12. Then in verse 13, why will you die, you and your people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, do not listen to the words of the prophets who speak to you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. So one of the main factors in their rebellion against God were these false prophets that were tickling their itching ears, that were telling them God's going to, you know, defeat the king of Babylon, or you won't have to serve. Or later on, we're going to see a false prophet, Hananiah, coming and saying, well, you're going to be carried away, but it's only going to be for 2 years. And these false prophets were simply tickling their ears. They wanted to hear these things. But I want you to notice, whenever we read about what these false prophets were saying, we never hear about them saying, repent. It's interesting to me. So in verse 15, for I have not sent them, says the Lord, these are the false prophets, yet they prophesy a lie in my name. And then he says the same thing in verse 15, then I may drive you out, and that you may perish, you and the prophets who prophesy to you. I'm going to use these false prophets. You're going to listen to them, and I'll use them to destroy you. Remember in the parable of the figs? You know, Jeremiah saw these two groups of figs. One figs were very good, another group of figs were very bad figs. You couldn't even eat them. God said the good figs were the people that the Babylonians had already carried away captive. They were the good figs. The bad figs were the people that were still in Jerusalem, that were gathered there. Those were the bad figs. The bad figs were going to be destroyed. The bad figs are going to be thrown out because you couldn't even eat them. And it was the opposite of what they wanted to hear. God said, submit. So the good figs submitted and were carried away. The bad figs stayed and rebelled, and they were destroyed. And it's just weird because it's like in the history of the nation, we don't see that hardly ever happening. It was always God's going to defend you, protect you, whatever it may be. But these false prophets were telling them to fight. Jeremiah was going against the grain. And I want to point that out because it gets back to the heart of God. God, in general, the Word of God goes against the grain of what the false prophets say. The false prophets are basically telling people what they want to hear. Jeremiah was telling them to repent, and that's the idea. So look in verse 16, a warning not to listen to these false prophets. Also I spoke to the priests and to all the people and said, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. saying, "Behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will now surely be brought back from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you." Now remember, I said already at this point, the Babylonians had conquered Jerusalem and Judah twice, had carried away captive many people. Again, we've mentioned this. We read about people like Daniel, you know, or Ezekiel. Ezekiel's in the land. Remember Esther. There, you know, many Jews had already been deported by the Babylonians. But every time the Babylonians had done that, they had set up a king, a Jewish king, to rule over them and just say, submit and serve. And those kings eventually rebelled. They didn't want to serve the king of Babylon. And so that's what, so these false prophets were saying, the vessels of the Lord's house will now shortly be brought back to Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city be laid waste? So it's amazing to me how God is saying one thing, surrender, serve the Babylonians. I don't want to destroy the city. On the other hand, you're going to listen to your false prophets and you'll be destroyed. And these vessels that you want brought back are not going to be brought back. How long is the captivity going to last? Anybody remember? 70 years. In verse 18, but if they are prophets, and if the word of the Lord is with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, do not go to Babylon. In other words, let's see what kind of influence they have over God. If they really pray and ask the Lord to, you know, of course, these vessels will be carried away. Matter of fact, everything, the two pillars, the brass pillars, the great sea, the water that they used out in the temple court, is all going to be dismantled and cut up. The Bible says the brass of those were so great they couldn't even number it. They couldn't even weigh it. It was beyond weight. And the Babylonians just cut them all up and hauled them off to Babylon. It was worth a lot of money. Look in verses 19 through 22. He says, for thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, concerning the carts, concerning the remainder of the vessels that shall remain in the city. When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take, when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that was in 597 BC, that's when that happened, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yes, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. And there they shall be until the day that I visit them, says the Lord, then I will bring them up and restore them to this place. Interesting. When God, under Cyrus, when Cyrus was the king that finally let the Jews after 7 years go back, remember Ezra? The book of Ezra is about the Jews organizing there in Babylon, going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Remember, Ezra rebuilt the temple, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. But what happened when Ezra went back, they were given the vessels and the instruments that were in the temple. They were given to take back. Cyrus said, I want you to go back. Matter of fact, Cyrus even said, pray for me and my son. Build the temple of the Lord and offer sacrifice and pray. Interesting. Now look in chapter 28, if you will. Now remember, the point I'm trying to make in this chapter is that the prophets, the false prophets, were saying the opposite. The false prophets were saying, well, whatever vessels are already taken captive, they're going to be brought back. God is saying not only will they not be brought back for 7 years, but what you have left, and he mentions what will be, you know, the pillars and the brazen sea, all that's going to be dismantled and hauled off. Look in verse 28. And here's one of the false prophets. And it gives us a picture of how God despises the liars, okay, that prophesy in the name of the Lord, but they're not from God. And it happened in the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, who was from the Gibeon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people and said, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring back to this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. This is a false prophet. And I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah who went to Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now, I want you to notice when he says this, there is no mention of repentance. There's no mention of doing away with your idols or turning back to the Lord or humbling yourself. None of that. Only, I'll bring them all back in 2 years. It's like they tickle itching ears. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, as Paul talks to Timothy about preaching the word, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to hear certain things. They want their ears tickled. They want you to tell me how wonderful I am and how God's going to bless me. You know, I don't want to hear any word about repenting. He says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. And these were fables. I'm reminded of the time. This is an interesting sort of insight into the spiritual realm. Back in the days of kings, when Ahab was the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, God wanted Ahab to go up and fight the Assyrians in a place called Ramoth-Gilead. And God, and what happens is Ahab is gathered there, but also Jehoshaphat, was the southern king, was joining with Ahab to go with him. And they had 450 prophets come up and prophesy, go up to Ramoth-Gilead because you're going to defeat the Assyrians. And so Jehoshaphat says, is there not a prophet of the Lord that we might hear from him? And then Ahab says, there's one guy, his name's Micaiah. I hate listening to him because he never says anything good. And Jehoshaphat says, bring Micaiah up and let's hear what he has to say. So Micaiah comes up and Micaiah sarcastically says, go up. You're going to defeat, you know, the Assyrians. And then Ahab says, how many times have I told you? Tell me what you hear from the Lord. And he says, I saw all of Israel scattered like sheep that had no shepherd. And then Micaiah says, let me tell you what I saw in my vision. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, calling some these spiritual things before him, and saying to them, who's going to deceive Ahab to cause him to come up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So God's listening to these angelic beings, these were actually demons, I believe, coming before the Lord. And they had different plans. And finally, this spirit comes before the Lord and says, I know what to do. I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And God said to this spirit, go. This is obviously not the Holy Spirit. This is obviously a demonic spirit. None of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, right? And so what happened was, so Micaiah is saying this. I saw God there on the throne, and God's saying these things. And all of a sudden, I saw this spiritual being coming up and saying, I will deceive Ahab. How are you going to deceive him? I will be a lying spirit in all of his prophets' mouths. And God says, you will succeed. So Micaiah says this. And, of course, they just totally throw out what Micaiah says. As a matter of fact, they put him in prison. And they said, put Micaiah in prison and give him the water of affliction and the bread of affliction until I come back in peace. Meaning simply a starvation diet. While I'm gone, you know, don't give him much food and water. And Micaiah says, if you come back in peace, the Lord's not spoken by me. Now you can imagine Jehoshaphat listening to this. Now he loves the Lord. One of the problems Jehoshaphat said twice, he joined affinity or he joined in alliance with the northern kingdom and God rebuked him. One time they built ships. They built these ships to go out and get things like Solomon had. And God sent a prophet and said, because you've done this, you've joined with the northern kingdom, I'll destroy the ships. And a wind came and destroyed the ships. But you can imagine being Jehoshaphat sitting there and hearing Micaiah say this and you're like, I'm a little nervous. As a matter of fact, Ahab said, here's what Ahab, you know how Ahab responded? Here's how we're going to respond. You, Jehoshaphat, you go up in all your kingly royal stuff. I'm going to disguise myself. Now remember, Micaiah said, I saw all of Israel scattered on the hills like a sheep that had no shepherd, which meant that Ahab's going to be killed. Ahab disguised himself. The Bible says they went up to fight at Ramoth-Gilead against the Assyrians. And as they're fighting, the Bible says the Assyrian had said, whenever you see the king, forget about everybody else and just kill the king. So they turned on Jehoshaphat, and all of a sudden as they got closer, they recognized this is not Ahab, and they turned away from him. But the Bible says a man at a venture shot a bow and arrow and at Ahab, and it went through his harness and struck him. And he was dying, and the blood spilled out. There was a prophecy about, I don't want to get into all that. But he ended up dying by that. But it's interesting how that lying spirit in the mouth of the prophets. This is what's happening here. These are false spirits. These are lying spirits trying to get Israel not to listen or Judah not to listen. That's what he's saying here. So Hananiah is this false prophet. So let's go back to verse 1. It happened in the same year at the beginning of the reign. Oh, in verse 4, I will bring back to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah within Babylon, says the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Verse 5, then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people who stood in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord's house to all who are carried away captive from Babylon to this place. In other words, I hope what you're saying is true. That would be great. It shows you how Jeremiah really did not want Judah destroyed. He did not want the people going through that. He knew these people. He knew that he had relatives in the city. Verse 7, nevertheless, hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people, the prophets who have been before me and before you of old prophesied against many countries and great kingdoms of war and disaster and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesied of peace, which is what Hananiah is doing. He's prophesying peace. When the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. If what you're saying is true, then it'll happen. But look in verse 10. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. Remember that he wore that yoke as a symbol. They were to be yoked to the king of Babylon for those 7 years. Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people and said, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. So Jeremiah goes home. I hope what he's saying is true, but look in verse 12. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. So I want to say this. We hear from Hananiah. We hear from Jeremiah, and now we're hearing from God through Jeremiah. So in other words, verse 5 down through verse 11, Jeremiah is somewhat speaking, but now in verse 12, God is speaking to Jeremiah to give this word to Hananiah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah and saying, go tell Hananiah, saying, thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made in their place yokes of iron. In other words, it's going to be worse than, you know, and again, because they're stiffening their hearts. They're fighting the king of Babylon. It's going to get worse. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. They shall serve him. I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make the people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you will die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. Now in chapter this prophecy began in the 4th month, so he died in the 7th month. So it was very rapid. He died very quickly after that. It's very interesting to me. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month is when he died. So he quickly died. Now look at verse 29, chapter 29 rather, excuse me. And now let me say this. Jeremiah now is going to, because this word that Hananiah's speaking is also being copied up in Babylon. So in verse 1, now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders, to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. So this letter is sent to those captives. This happened after Jeconiah the king, the queen mother, and the eunuchs, the princes of Judah, and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. This is in 2 Kings 24 is when they captured them. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Jeriah, the son of Eliakim, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, and here's the letter. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat their fruit, take wives, beget sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and get your daughters to husbands so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. Isn't that amazing? In other words, settle in. Don't think that you're going to be there for a short period of time and head back to Judah. Settle in, get homes, get businesses, marry, you know, and pray for the peace of whatever city you are in captivity at. Verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreams. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. So Jeremiah is sending this letter to combat this lie, this deceptive, that were these false prophets saying, oh, it's going to be great. You'll go back home pretty soon. Don't get businesses. Don't worry. You just we're going to go be home. We're getting home soon. Remember, God's told them they're going to be there 7 years. Verse 10, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. It's going to be 7 years, not 2 years. Don't listen to Hananiah or the people that are there. There were false prophets there in Babylon, and they were reflecting what Hananiah was saying. Now, let me just say this. And this is what I was saying about Micaiah. Were these false prophets making this up? Or were these false prophets hearing something that was spiritual but was not the Holy Spirit? And I think as we look at Micaiah, as we hear that, I believe there are demonic spirits out there deceiving. Again, when these false prophets are prophesied, they're not saying anything about repenting. They're not saying anything about turning to the Lord. They're not confirming what Jeremiah was saying. In other words, either Jeremiah's the true prophet and they're false, or they're true and Jeremiah's false. But God's already demonstrated that Jeremiah was true by Hananiah being struck dead. So in verse 11, for I know the thoughts, and this is a famous passage, I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That you will, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place which I cause you to be carried away captive. Why? Because God's disciplining, God's chastening, God's correcting their idolatry. God's already told them. What was the passage? Look in chapter 24. They're the good figs. Let me go back to chapter 24, verse 4, and just read this to you because it reflects what was just said. Chapter 24, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I've sent out of this place for their own good into the land of the Chaldeans. I will set my eyes on them for good and will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Look in verse 7. I love this verse. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. I will be their God, and they shall return to me with their whole heart. These are the people carried away captive. It's the ones that remain that are the bad figs. That's the point. So God, in other words, God's going to bless the captives, but judge those that are still in the land. Now, again, it's just so bizarre when you look at the history of the nation. But it just shows you God had made his mind up. They need discipline. They need chastening. They need correcting. I'm going to do that by carrying them away captive. I'm going to deal with them thoroughly for 70 years. Remember the time that Israel came to the borders of the nation, the land of Canaan, and they sent in spies to spy out the land. Remember that? Joshua and Caleb came back and says, these people are bred for us. Their defenses are departed from us. God will give us the land. But the other 10 said, there's giants in the lands. The Anakims are there. We're going to be defeated. And the people of Israel rebelled against God and said, there's no way. God just brought us up to kill us all. And then God finally said, all right, because you've said this, because you've rebelled against my word, you're going to go in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, at the time that they were sending in the spies, they'd already been gone for 2 years. So an additional 38 years. And after God said that, they said, oh, we shouldn't have said that. We changed our mind. We're going to follow the Lord. We're going into the land. And Moses said, don't go up. The Lord's not with you. And they decided to go up anyway. And when they went up, the Amalekites came and attacked them, and they were defeated. And they went into the wilderness for another 38 years. In other words, the people that followed the Lord and went into the wilderness were blessed. The ones that would try to get into the land, it's the same thing in some ways. The people that are there in Judah are the ones that God's going to destroy. The ones that are carried away captive, God's going to bless. That's exactly what's reflected in this passage, this letter. So this is a letter being sent to these people. Look in verse 15. Verse 15 says, because the Lord has said, the Lord has raised up prophets, because you have said, excuse me, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning all the people who dwell in this city, and concerning your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. These are the ones back at home. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send on them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, and will make them like the rotten figs that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. That's what the 24th chapter, Jeremiah prophesied about these. I'll pursue them with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and I will deliver them to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I've driven them. Because they have not heeded my word, says the Lord, which I sent to them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, neither would they that you heed, says the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you captivity whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Maasai, who prophesy a lie to you in my name. These were two major prophets that were carried away captive. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He will slay them before your eyes. And because of them, a curse will be taken up by the captivity of Judah who are in Babylon. And they'll say, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Remember, Hananiah has already been killed. These two prophets are going to be killed too, but they're going to be roasted in the fire. Because they have done disgraceful thing in Israel, they've committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Indeed, I know, and am witness, says the Lord. So they got caught red-handed. Not only are you false prophets, but you're adulterers, and you're claiming to speak for me? Look in verse 24 now. God's word upon Shemaiah. You shall also speak to Shemaiah the Nehilamite, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you have sent letters in your name to all the people who are at Jerusalem. So they're sending back to Jerusalem to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord has made you priests instead of Jehoiada the priest, so that there should be officers in the house of the Lord over every man who is demented and considers himself a prophet. In other words, all these weirdos. That you should put him in prison and in the stocks. Now, therefore, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth, who makes himself a prophet to you? In other words, these guys were sending back and saying, Jeremiah's a false prophet. Jeremiah's not agreeing with us. He's not agreeing with Hananiah. He's not agreeing with the other guys. And they had sent letters to Jerusalem to have Jeremiah arrested and punished. Verse 28, for he has sent you, he has sent to us in Babylon, saying, thus this captivity is long. Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat their fruit. In other words, we don't want to hear this. That's not what we want to hear. Now Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the hearing of Jeremiah the prophet. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, send to all those in captivity, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehemiah, because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, and I have not sent him, and he has caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehemiah and his family. He shall not have anyone to dwell among this people, nor shall he see the good that I will do for my people, says the Lord, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord. And we see God's heart against these false prophets. They were tickling itching ears. They were deceiving the people. They were saying, the Lord has said when the Lord had not said. You know, and God's word over and over again speaks about that. Be careful when you're saying, thus says the Lord. It's got to match the word. There was no, as I've said before, there was no mention in these false prophets prophesying about repentance. All their word was, oh, just 2 years. Oh, don't worry about building houses and taking things. Don't listen to Jeremiah. All they were saying was contradicting what Jeremiah was saying and saying it's not going to be any big deal. As if somehow their sin was a light sin. As if somehow what they were doing was not even worth mentioning. But Jeremiah was the one that was telling them to repent and turn to the Lord, and it would be a 70-year captivity. And, of course, Jeremiah was going against the grain. They didn't want to hear that. And it just reflects. That's why, again, as Paul said to Timothy, the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. They'll want to have their ears tickled. They want to hear what they want to hear. Some people think when you come to church, you should feel good. They really believe that the purpose of coming to church is to be encouraged and to feel better about how wonderful I am and how much God loves me and how everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because we're following Jesus, but we need to repent and follow Jesus. That's how it is okay. It is the people that repented. It was the people that submitted to the word of Jeremiah that were carried away captive that God was going to bless. And that was so contrary to everything they had heard. That's why they had a hard time with it. We don't want to hear that. Even while they were fighting the Babylonians, Jeremiah was saying, do not fight them, surrender to them. You know, you can imagine the fear of, you know, me surrender, go out to these people that are out, what are they going to do to us? We don't want to do that. And Jeremiah had said, God had said through Jeremiah, if you surrender, you'll be okay. Yeah, you're going to be carried away captive. Yeah, it's not going to be easy, but you'll be safe and I'll bless you. But if you stay in the city, you know, that's where you're going to, you think you're going to find safety, you're going to be destroyed. And even after the Babylonians destroyed the city, burned it with fire, there were a few left. And the few that were left, you know, after they had gone, Jeremiah stayed in the area. They came to Jeremiah because the leader was killed. He was assassinated. And the people came to Jeremiah. And they said, what should we do? And Jeremiah said, well, give me some time to seek the Lord. And Jeremiah prayed. And finally, and they said to Jeremiah, whatever God says, we're going to do. Yeah, right. And so finally, Jeremiah comes back after about a week of seeking the Lord. And Jeremiah says, whatever you do, don't go to Egypt. Stay in the land. Serve the Babylonians. But they'll kill us because their leader they put was killed. Stay here. Don't go to Egypt. Guess where they went? Right to Egypt. Guess what happened? The Babylonians who they feared went down into Egypt. And matter of fact, right the place where Jeremiah was standing, because Jeremiah was carried captive with them, Jeremiah says, you see these stones here? The king of Babylon is going to set up his throne right on these stones, and he will judge the people that are here. And the Babylonians went down into Egypt. Matter of fact, the Babylonians had defeated Tyre. And God said they fought against Tyre. It was a very big battle, and they didn't get anything from it as far as wealth. God says, because he's my servant, and they defeated the people of Tyre and Sidon and didn't get any wealth, I'm going to give them Egypt. I'll reward them by going down to Egypt, and they'll defeat the Egyptians, and they'll get all the wealth of Egypt. And that's what happened. So all I'm saying is there's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. Oftentimes, God's word is a hard word, but if we follow the Lord and do what He wants us to do, there's safety in that. It's in doing what we want to do, not listening to the Lord. And that's what is the issue here in this these passages, because these three chapters, I think, deal very strongly with false prophets. They were telling the captives and telling the ones down in Judah to listen to them, and they were false prophets. And God judged those prophets very harshly, as well as the people that listened to them. So let's pray. Lord, this evening as we close our study, thank you again for your word. And we just pray that you would help us to learn as we continue our journey through the Bible, through the book of Jeremiah Wednesday nights. I pray that we would listen to what you're saying, not only to Jeremiah, but the manner of which you deal with these kinds of things. And there are times you bring harsh words. The place of safety was the captivity. The place of judgment was staying where they were. And it just seems so strange and different. And yet your ways are not our ways. I pray that you would help us to always test everything we hear by the Scriptures. As we always go to the Word and say, what does the Bible say? What does the Scriptures teach? I pray that we would not be of that group that loves to have their ears tickled. Father, we want to know the truth. We want to understand your Word. We want to be right with you. We realize that we have a tendency. I'm reminded of the hymn, we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We're all prone to do that. So correct us, keep us straight. You love us, and because you love us, you chasten us. So may you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Any comments?